Settle down. Just relax.
No more mucking around.
Okay, then, I think it's in there.
So, we'll continue the prayers of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma's prayers are of being offered to Lord Krishna after the Brahma Vimohana Lila. So last night we went through the first 20 verses, some very important prayers, some of the most important prayers in the whole Bhagavatam practically, or within that section. Tonight we'll go through verses 21 to 40. And further prayers offered by Lord Brahma. What were some of the essential points from last night's?
The only way to attain Krishna is to transcend the three modes of nature.
Yep, that's good. Yeah, so one of the essential points from last night was that in order to attain Krishna's mercy, one has to develop humility. If one doesn't develop humility, one cannot attain Krishna's mercy. There's no qualification, no adhikar. When you become humble, you become qualified to make advancement in spiritual life. So tonight, we'll see one of the main themes of this section is that if one wants to understand and approach Krishna, Krishna is inconceivable. So he's very difficult to understand. But to approach Krishna, to understand him, then one needs to have shelter of the spiritual master. And by taking shelter of a guru, then one can understand Krishna, one can approach Krishna and fully realize him. Okay.
One can only understand Krishna through devotion, not by any knowledge.
Yeah, not by gyan. Yeah, very good.
So, like, if we offend a devotee, Krishna will never forgive us?
Yeah, until we apologize to that devotee.
Apologize.
So tonight we'll go from verses 21 to 40. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. So, Jogesh, you want to read that before?
Yes. So, Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among the demigods, human beings, animals, fish, and so on. This does not mean, however, that Lord is triggered by his incarnations. As Brahma clarifies here, no conditioned soul can understand the practical nature of the Lord's activities which he enacts through his spiritual potency. Although the Lord is woman, the Supreme Great One, he is still Bhagavan, the Supreme Beautiful Personality exhibiting pastimes of love in his own abode. At the same time, he is Paramatma, the all-pervading super soul, who witnesses and sanctions all the activities of the conditioned soul. The Lord's multiple identity is explained in the term Yogeshwar. The absolute truth is the master of all mystic potencies, and although he is one and supreme, he manifests his greatness and opulence in many different ways. Such elevated spiritual masters can hardly be understood by foolish persons primitively identifying themselves with an insignificant material body. These conditioned souls, such as atheistic scientists, consider their own puffed up intelligence supreme, calibrate, placing their firm faith in material illusion. They are captured by the modes of nature and driven far away from knowledge of God.
What are the points there? So no materialist can understand Krishna. Krishna is adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means he is beyond the material energy. He is transcendental. So unless you become transcendental in consciousness, you cannot understand Krishna. You must be spiritual to understand something that is spiritual. Prabhupada gives that example. So only fire, the iron robe is placed in the fire, becomes transformed into fire. Then it has the same effect as fire. So until your consciousness becomes transformed and becomes spiritualized, you can't understand Krishna. Because Krishna is transcendental. He is beyond our sense perception. Atahashi Krishna Namadi, the verse is given. So Krishna is not understood by anyone who is in material consciousness. That's why we cannot understand Krishna. Because our consciousness is still material. We are identifying with matter. So what is the first thing that Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita? Right? It is that you must transcend matter. That's the first thing he says. When you transcend matter, then you can understand him. Right? As long as you're attached to the material energy, you can never understand Krishna. And when you become detached from the material energy, then you can understand Krishna. Now, Krishna manifests in various forms according to the desires of his devotees. You know? So the devotees want to associate with Krishna in different rasas, in different ways. So Krishna has many forms. But Lord Chaitanya is especially emphasizing that the devotees develop attachment to Krishna in Vrindavan, because that was Lord Chaitanya's own mood. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He is non-different from Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is the combined form. So his own mood is to fully absorb himself in the pastimes of Vrindavan, in the love of the Brijbasis. So that should also be our cultivation and our desire, to also follow in the mood of the Brijbasis. So Lord Brahma is emphasizing this, because this entire pastime is about Lord Brahma entering Vrindavan, but not being in the right consciousness, and therefore not being able to understand Krishna. You only understand Krishna when you follow the footsteps of the Brijbasis. That is the mood of this section. Any points? These are advanced topics, but this is the 10th canto. The 10th canto is advanced. So these are advanced topics. But the fact that we're all here and we're studying the 10th canto means that Krishna is trying, he's trying from his side, from the spiritual world, he's trying to reach out to us and bring us back into. Then you can say, well, this is advanced, it's too far beyond me. Then make advancement. We're studying the 10th canto, make advancement. Become qualified. Elevate your consciousness quickly. It can happen. Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in one moment. That's if you desire. If you don't have the desire, then you stay in the material world. If you want to leave the material world, you can leave the material world in this lifetime. That's possible. Prabhupada says you can leave the material world in this moment, one moment, when you're ready to fully surrender to Krishna. Okay. Three worlds means the upper planetary systems, the middle planetary systems, the lower planetary systems. No, it means Krishna appears in Vrindavan, only in the middle planetary system. But he appears in the heavenly planets as Bhamana Dev. He takes different forms in different places. So. Yeah, but it's Krishna then he appears in Vrindavan, only on this planet, just south of Delhi. You can go there. But Prabhupada said you can get a ticket there, but that doesn't mean you will reach the destination. You only go to Vrindavan when your consciousness changes. Prabhupada said you can't purchase a ticket to get to Vrindavan. You can go to the place we call Vrindavan, but whether or not you're in Vrindavan consciousness, then that's different. Therefore, this entire universe, which, like a dream, is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real, and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you. whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that this material world is inauspicious. The spiritual world is all auspicious. Everything is auspicious in the spiritual world. But in the material world, inauspicious things take place all the time. What are some examples of inauspicious things taking place in this material world? There are many examples. The entire planet is inauspicious. Do you want us to come and pick up you guys? We can send someone to pick you up if you want to come on time. No problem. We have chauffeurs here as well. They can operate. Do you need a chair?
No.
The chairs are free. That's part of the course. Matiji, but we have more chairs on the back. Would you like a little chair? Please, take a chair. Yeah, give one for Matiji. Everyone comfortable? Good. Try to come on time if you can. 10th canto is even more important than anything. So try to be honest. So, this material world is inauspicious, and as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, it is like a dream. Or it's actually Prabhupada's disciples. I have to keep reminding myself, it's not Prabhupada, but they're speaking on behalf of Prabhupada, so in one sense we can say it's Prabhupada. But this material world is like a dream. And the Bhagavad Gita has already established this. Canto 1, Canto 2, it is a dream. Not that it's not real, but it is, because it is all limited, it is all temporary. What we're experiencing is actually, it's like a dreamlike situation. Because it just comes and goes, and the Bhagavad Gita itself says, when you leave this world, and when all of us leave this world, we just become names in a book. That's all we are. We're just names. No one remembers us. 100 years from now, no one will even know any of us. Because none of us are important. Prabhupada, will, you know, people like him, they will continue. You know, maybe some of the gurus, some of the followers of Prabhupada, they'll still remember them. But none of us will be remembered. Right? And in 1,000 years, everyone will be forgotten. 10,000 years, everyone will be forgotten. So the material world is a dream. And it's full of inauspicious activities. So therefore, as it is being said here, the way to extricate yourself from this dream or extricate yourself from the material energy is the process of yukta vairagya. So use those things which are dreamlike, which are binding us to this world, use those same things to liberate us from this world. In other words, what keeps us in this world? Our family keeps us in this world. Attachment to children, attachment to husband, to wife, attachment to mother, father, attachment to everyone, attachment to everything in this world, that binds us. But those things can also liberate you when they're used in Krishna's service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the Grihastha Acharya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many children, had a very highly placed job, great responsibility, right? He was Grihastha, he was in this material world. But he said that all of these things are simply to be used in Krishna's service. And therefore they don't bind you, they liberate you. So that's the process. So we don't have to live artificially. As it said, Brahma said in one of the verses last night, Lord Brahma said, you don't have to change your material position. You don't have to leave Grihastha Ashram, you don't have to become a renunciant. But you have to absorb yourself in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And then you become liberated. And then life is okay. Even in this inauspicious dream-like material world full of suffering, it's okay. Hare Krishna. But if you don't absorb yourself in Krishna, just become suffering. As soon as Krishna is outside of your family situation, it becomes suffering. When he's in your family situation, it becomes tolerable. Or even ecstatic, if everyone is very blissful in Krishna consciousness. Okay. You are the one supreme soul, the primeval supreme personality, the absolute truth, self-manifested, endless and beginningless. You are the eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival and free from all material designations. Your happiness can never be obstructed, nor have you any connection with material contamination. Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of immortality. So Prabhupada explains, or it's explained in the purport, that everyone in the material world goes through six transformations. What are the six transformations? Birth. Growth. Maintenance, yeah. Have some kids. Dwindle, then you die. But Krishna does not go through any of this. Because he is indestructible, beginningless. You have to meditate deeply on these things. They seem like repetitive points. They're not repetitive points because you haven't realized anything. One time, Prahlad Nandaswami, he was there and he was giving class in the evening. And I said, Maharaj, what are you speaking of? I've told this story before. I said, Maharaj, what are you speaking about? And he said, I'll speak about, Dehinos Vinyata Dehe, one of those verses, one of the beginning verses of the Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body, you are the soul. I said, Maharaj, that's just basic stuff. He said, yes, but none of us realize it. So we haven't even realized the fundamentals yet. So you have to meditate deeply on these points. I'm studying this as carefully as I can at the moment, this 10th canto, and I'm trying to meditate very deeply. Krishna's body is not material, it is spiritual. But what does that mean? You have to contemplate that very deeply and realize that point. Krishna is beyond. He is an oxygen. He is a transcendental entity. Completely different from this material world. You have to meditate. If you meditate on these things, you will gradually become transported out of this material energy. This is not a light read. If you just read this lightly and superficially, you won't extract the essence. The Bhagavatam has to be studied very scrutinizingly. We have to go through with a fine comb. All the commentaries of the Acharyas. The Bhagavatam itself, word for word. What does the Sanskrit mean? What is Brahma indicating? There is great illumination. Divyagana Hride Prakashito. In these words, transcendental knowledge manifests. Divyagana. So you have to meditate on it very deeply, and then you will get realizations. Krishna is not a material entity. That's why we can't understand him. Because we still identify with matter, we can't understand Krishna properly. Those who have received the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way. As the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self, thus understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. Jamma kama chame divyam. Have you heard of that verse? Where is that from? Which chapter? Which verse? Divya gyan. So, jamma kama chame divyam. Divya. Divya means divine, transcendental. Krishna's appearance, his activity, is divine, it is transcendental. Prabhupada said on one occasion, this is the most important verse in the Gita. Because if you understand this, what does Krishna say?
You will not come back to this world.
You won't take birth again. Hands up if you don't want to take birth again. You're not serious. You all put up your hands. Yeah, you say you're serious at the moment, but you're not really serious. Because if you're really serious, there'd be no material desires left in the consciousness. You have so many material desires. You're attached to so many things.
Even attached to it, but we have desire not to come back.
Yeah, but which is stronger? The attachment or the desire not to come back? Because both are there, but at the moment the desire to come back is not as strong as the desire for attachment. Therefore, you don't transcend the material energy. So, jamma, karma chame divyam. No? This is the most important verse. When you understand Krishna's pastimes are divyam, transcendental, right? Then you transcend this material energy. Now, how does this take place? By the instructions of the spiritual master. Okay. And this is one of the main themes in this set of verses that we're reading tonight. It is by the hearing from the spirit. This is what struck me today when I was preparing, when I was reading these verses. It is by the instruction of the spiritual master. It is by the association of the guru. The spiritual masters, plural. Sri Guru, Vaishnavams cha. We say when we chant the pranam mantras. Vandeham Sri Guru. Guru means Diksha Guru. Sri Gurun means Shiksha Gurus. You have many Shiksha Gurus. Vaishnavams cha. Many Vaishnavas. Well, I've told you before, my guru told me, just in that room just up there, the day he initiated me, he said, don't think it is just me who will take you back to Godhead. He said, it will require many to take you back to Godhead. He said, don't just form a relationship with me. He said, form a relationship with many. Because many people will assist you going back to the spiritual world. This is guru. Guru means the people who assist you to go back to Krishna, they are guru. So this theme, Brahma is indicated to us in this section. It is by the mercy of the spiritual masters that you understand Krishna. Why? Because they understand Krishna. Right? You can only get as close to Krishna as the people you associate with. Right? If you associate with devotees who realize Krishna, you will also realize Krishna. Right? So, the most powerful association is Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada said, the best of me is in these purports. Prabhupada also said the purports are better than him. He said that. Because he said these are his ecstasies. So, okay, we can say now it's not Prabhupada's purports directly, but in one sense it is. I don't take it that it's different. Okay, he told Hiridananda Maharaj, you finish it. He said that. So we take it that whatever's being said, Prabhupada's coming through. Right? The mood is the same. So I don't take it that it's different. Because it's sincerely, if the disciple is sincerely following the guru, then that is as good as hearing from the guru. And Prabhupada himself, he commented on the entire 10th canto through the Krishna book. He did that in 1970, before he even got to the 9th canto, before he got to the 10th canto. He didn't get to the 10th canto until 76. Right? But in 1970, he'd already finished a commentary on the 10th canto, just in case he didn't live that long. So he did comment. Everything is there. He said, actually, I've said everything in my books. Right? And he even said everything's in the first canto. He even said that. A person, is a quite a famous verse. You might recognize this verse. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful. But he then gives up his fear upon realizing that the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expansive illusory material existence arises, but knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. So it's said in the purport that this material world is full of darkness. Right? We chant that mantra before we give class, usually. Om Gyan. Timirandasya. Timirandasya, what does that mean? Darkness. Right? Material is a dark place. So how do you get out of a dark place? Yeah, when someone comes into the room with a light. Right? So basically you're born in darkness. Just like Prabhupada was lecturing here in Melbourne. Right? And he said there are eagles which fly in between the planets, and the eagles, they pick up elephants and they feed it to their baby eagles. So one devotee put his hand up at the end and said, Prabhupada, you mentioned there were eagles. Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, is this literal? Is this true? Prabhupada said, what would you know? You're still in the womb of your mother. So we're all in darkness. Right? We don't understand anything. And the guru, the spiritual masters, they come into this world with the light and they say, okay, follow me and I'll take you out. So without the mercy of the spiritual masters, you stay here in this material world. You only get out when you stay close to the association. Therefore, the disciple always stays with the guru in his consciousness, even if he can't physically be with the guru. That's why Prabhupada said, Vani is more important than Bapu. And Prabhupada said when he came to America, he said, I never felt that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not by my side. No. And when he went back to Mayapur, you know, when you go to Mayapur, you drive in, and you drive past the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, and that's where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi. So Prabhupada used to go past straight to ISKCON. So his god brothers used to criticize him. You don't even stop and offer obeisances at your guru's samadhi. He said, I'm always with my guru. Not that we shouldn't offer obeisances at our guru's samadhi. He said, I'm always with my guru. And they sometimes they would challenge him. And Prabhupada, he would say, how many books have you distributed? How many disciples have you made? And how many temples have you opened? And then we'll find out who was the real son of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Right, so the disciple is always there. And if you stay with your guru in your consciousness, you go back to the spiritual world. Yeah? And if you don't stay with your guru, you stay here in the material world. So the choice is yours. The conception of material bondage and the conception of liberation are both manifestations of ignorance. Being outside the scope of true knowledge, they cease to exist when one correctly understands that the pure spirit soul is distinct from matter and always fully conscious. At that time, bondage and liberation no longer have any significance. Just as day and night have no significance from the perspective of the sun. Just see the foolishness of those ignorant persons who consider you to be some separated manifestation of illusion and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, the material body. Such fools conclude that the supreme soul is to be searched for somewhere outside your supreme personality. O unlimited Lord, the saintly devotees seek you out within their own bodies by rejecting everything separate from you. Indeed, how can discriminating persons appreciate the real nature of rope lying before them until they refute the illusion that it is a snake? So once again, it is said in the purport, you must associate with those who can differentiate. What does the first verse of the Bhagavatam say? The Bhagavatam is meant to teach us to differentiate between matter and spirit, between reality and illusion. So the Bhagavatam is meant to make us understand. And you need to find devotees who have that realization, who can see the difference between matter and spirit. By associating with them, you will also develop that consciousness. So that is what an advanced devotee is. An advanced devotee is someone who differentiates between matter and spirit. Srila Prabhupada, 1967, 66 even, very early in our movement, he went to a radio station and they interviewed Prabhupada on the radio. This is like right back, I think it's even back in New York, so it must have been like 66, like the very beginning. And then I've told this story before, so they asked Prabhupada, when they're interviewing him, they said, are you self-realized? Prabhupada said, yes. Then they said, what is the proof? Prabhupada said, I can be in a room full of naked women and not be disturbed, but you cannot. So you have to find someone who is in that consciousness. In other words, someone who is on the spiritual platform. Right? Someone who is beyond birth and death. And by associating with them, you can also develop that consciousness. Yeah. Just like many years ago, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja in Vrindavan, the disappearance day in Vrindavan. So then, advanced devotees were speaking. So one person from a sannyasi, a guru from the Gaudiya Mutt, he came and he spoke. And he was saying things about gopis and very high topics. You know, and who is Prabhupada in the spiritual world? What is his swarupa? What is his? So he's speaking like very high topics. So then after he spoke, then another, a god brother of Prabhupada, Puri Maharaj, right, who's very elderly, very senior. He's left the world now. But very, very senior. So then he spoke next. And he said, what is all this talk about gopis and all these things? He said, you do not even understand your constitutional position. You do not even understand the difference between matter and spirit. So why are you talking about all these things? He said, first you must understand. Now, which is what Brahmana is saying here. Right? How you going? Because you know what's really going to happen here. What happens straight after this pastime? Right? Krishna's age changes. Right? Krishna is still in Kaumara Lila. According to his pastimes here on earth, he hasn't even turned 5 yet. Right? And he's bewildering Brahma. Right? He's not even 5 years old, and Brahma is completely. It's like you know. Hey, Brinda, how old are you? Brinda, how old are you? 8. Okay, so you're too old. How old's your younger brother? He's 8 as well. How old are you? You're 10. Wow. So old, you kids. Is anyone who's 5? She's only 2, right? 3. I'm having a good night. Okay, so do you understand my point? Someone who's 5 years old. Right? So someone 5 years old is bewildering the most intelligent person in this universe. And that's great. He hasn't even got to the age of 5 yet. And he's already completely bewildered Brahma. He's just standing. Brahma's offering all these prayers. Brahma's shivering. He's shaking in front of a 5-year-old kid. Can you imagine this? In front of a 5-year-old kid, you're saying, I'm sorry. You know, I offended you. Please forgive me. And the 5-year-old kid's just sitting there going, just like... he's just looking around. Where are my calves? You know? Who's the guy at the 4 heads? When's he going to finish talking so I can just go and find the calves? You know, I have to get back to the boys. I told them I'd be back soon. Like that. So he's just like this. And this person has just bewildered Brahma completely. So this pastime is teaching us we must overcome our identification with matter. You have to identify the difference between matter and spirit and absorb yourself fully in spirit. Then you can understand Krishna's pastimes. Because this, what's happening after this is Paulganda Lila. Very soon, Krishna begins to associate with the gopis. It's not far away now. It's only a few chapters. Right? Chapter 21 is when they hear the flute. And that's when we go straight into the Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras hasn't manifested yet. Right? There's no Madhurya Ras up until now. Right? Sakya, even Brahma, in the next few verses, he glorifies Sakya and he glorifies Vatsalya, but he doesn't glorify Madhurya because Krishna's not manifesting it yet. Right? So you can't understand all of this until you become self-realized. Yeah? So when is a good time to become self-realized? When's a good time? Oh, you can say, oh, when I'm 50 or when I'm 60 or when I'm 70, I'll become self-realized. No, the time is now. Right? And you say, well, it's too advanced for me. Well, then just do it. Prabhupada said, if you can't do it, you're just not sincere. Mm-hmm. We're not sincere enough. Mm-hmm. So the point is, we're not going to become self-realized quickly or easily, but at least let's seriously endeavor. And you can rapidly advance. You know, every year I like to go to these retreats with Burujan Prabhu and Satchinandan Swami. And Burujan Prabhu said to us one year, when we're next to Govardhan Hill, he said, aim high, right, in your devotional service. Aim high. Because if you aim very high, right, Krishna may lift you very quickly to advanced levels of devotional service. So you can rapidly advance by studying this 10th chapter if you study it in the right consciousness.
In this verse, according to the word verse in the fourth book of Bhagavad, but if you see anything separate from me,
yep. That's not mentioned like that. Just Krishna's not showing that. He's not showing those pastimes yet. Because Brahma's looking down. So he's seeing Sakyaras and Vatsalyaras. But Madhuryaras is not manifesting yet. But it manifests very soon.
But this is the same Brahma who shakes hands with Krishna and Guru. Is it after he gets that realization?
Not necessarily.
Because Bhagavatam is not chronological.
Yeah, Bhagavatam is not chronological. There is a Brahma in the second canto. And he's in Sakyaras, he shakes the hand. But even that Brahma may not be the same Brahma who speaks Brahma Samhita. Because Brahma Samhita is, there's a lot of Madhurya Rasa in Brahma Samhita. So all the Brahmas in the Bhagavatam may not be the same person. May not be. They could be, but they may not be also. There's definitely more than one Brahma in the Bhagavatam.
So this pastime of Krishna which we are learning to may not be the same
past tense
which happened 5,000 years ago. It could be from a
different Rasa Lila. What we're hearing now is from 5,000 years ago.
So this Rama is
Lila. Is what? Yeah. Because if we cross across to Gauri Lila for a moment, then what happens after this pastime? Brahma goes away and he's very disheartened because he's tried to take all the boys and the calves from Krishna. And Krishna forgives him, but he still feels very upset. So then he goes to Antadvip, to Navadvip. You know, have you been to Mayapur? You know where the yoga pit is? That's called Antadvip. Anta means like secret or like that. So he goes to that place and he does austerity there. Because he feels like, you know, when you do something wrong, you commit an offense, then you purify yourself. So you do some austerity. So he goes and performs tapasya. And then Gauranga, Lord Gaurasundara, he appears because that is his dharma. And he said, I'm coming again soon. Right? And he said, when you appear, you will come with me and you'll be one of my great devotees. Yeah? But then he prays to the Lord. He said, I don't want to be a great devotee because if I come as a great devotee, I'll commit offenses again. I became proud last time. So he said, then, okay, I'll give you the position of Haridas Thakur. So then Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma, he takes birth as Haridas Thakur, born in the Muslim family. So he feels that he is very fallen and lowly. And then because of his exalted position, Lord Chaitanya makes him the Namacharya. And every day, when we say Prema Dwani, the prayers, we say Namacharya Shala Haridas Thakur Ki. We don't say that. I mean, there's so many devotees of Lord Chaitanya. But we only say his name. So he's singled out forever and ever and ever, practically. Because he was the Namacharya. And the process that Lord Chaitanya came to teach us was chanting the holy name. And he teaches it through Haridas Thakur. Because that is our sadhana. And that leads to sadhya. That leads to perfection. You become completely perfect if you perfect your chanting. When you become perfect in your chanting, you go back to Godhead. It means you have to stay awake during your japa. Any points?
Okay. I've heard that he didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah.
My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So you can study the Vedas for years and years and years. Vedeshu dulabham adulabham atma bhakto. Lord Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu dulabham. You can study the Vedas, but it's very difficult to understand Krishna. But adulabham, which means not difficult, atma bhakto, when you study, and this is study of the Vedas. This is directly the bhakti shastra. It means by studying the Bhagavatam, by studying it very carefully, with devotion, atma bhakto, It is very easy to understand Krishna. It's adulava. It's not difficult to understand Krishna. Krishna become, if you are inoffensive and you study the Bhagavatam very carefully, you will realize Krishna very quickly. Because Prabhupada says that the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And you get all the benefit of associating with Krishna directly by just studying the Bhagavatam. Now, the Bhagavatam is so powerful. So you have to absorb yourself. Hands up if you're keeping up with the reading for the class. One.
Very good.
Really?
Two?
Yeah, good. Is anyone that no one is keeping up? Really? Yeah, I'm not trying to, but that's not the question. Okay, hands up. Hands up if you're trying to keep up. Yeah, of course, everyone's trying to keep up. I'm saying, who's keeping up? You know, we're going pretty slowly. You should be. I mean, the previous years, I never got on your case too much. But with the 10th canto, you really should be keeping up. You know, so maybe you have to sleep a bit less or eat a bit less. But you know, you should be keeping up with that, the reading. Because the 10th canto is very, it's not like the other cantos. It's very special. Try to keep up. Okay. My dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I may take birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Yeah. So what should be our prayer? If we have to take birth again, let it be as a devotee. Kadamba Kanamaraj was explaining this to us because many years ago he was shot in Vrindavan. And he said when he was laying there on the ground, he lost 80% of his blood. And I remember he said one time that while he was laying there on the ground, everything went into slow motion. And he had a lot of time to contemplate. And then he said he realized he may have to take birth again. So then he said he started meditating. Let me take birth as at least as a devotee. Let me get born in that Gurukul just over there. Because it was not far from the Vrindavan Gurukul where he was shot. So that should be our prayer. That if we can't go back to Krishna, if we're not ready, at least become a devotee. At least do that. But better than that is that we should go back to the spiritual world. So we should desire to become a bridge basi in our next life. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he expects that all of his followers go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Which means you have to get quite serious. You know, if you don't get serious, you won't go back in this lifetime. But if you're serious, you can go back in this lifetime. It's possible. But you have to be very serious. But you have to desire. I asked Burujan Prabhu one time. I said, you know, like, how do we go back to Godhead? And he said, based on the Bhagavatam, he said, you have to desire to serve Krishna in a particular rasa, which is our philosophy. That's called rag anuga bhakti. Not just desiring to serve Krishna, it's generic, but in a particular rasa. That's how we go back. So when you have a desire to serve Krishna as a gopi or a gopa or as one of Krishna's parents, then you go back to Krishna. O Almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate are the cows and ladies of Vrindavan, the nectar of whose breast milk you have happily drunk to your full satisfaction, taking the form of their calves and children. All the Vedic sacrifices performed from time immemorial up to the present day have not given you as much satisfaction. So what is Lord Brahma praising here? What is he praying? Praising? Yeah, but specifically what is he praising? Yeah. He's praising the devotees who are in Vatsalya Ras or Vatsalya Bhav. The cowherd people in Vrindavan. So he's praising their position. Because what happens when you do a jagya? You offer clarified butter. You offer ghee. Whenever you do a jagya, swaha, swaha, we offer the ghee. Swaha, we offer the ghee. But the elder gopis are giving their breast milk to Krishna, which is the same thing. The milk, the ghee comes from the milk. They're giving that directly to Krishna. So you put it in the mouth. That's not as pleasing to Krishna. Krishna gets much more satisfaction from Vatsalya Ras than he does from some brahmana going, swaha, swaha, swaha. That doesn't please Krishna as much. Because when the gopis, they bring him, they say, take my breast milk. He gets so much more satisfaction. So he's praising the Brijbasis. He's praising their elevated position, where they deal with him just like a mother deals with a child. That's much higher. That's a much higher, because it's human-like. They see Krishna as a member of their village or a member of their family. How do you feel when someone treats you like a family member? Or someone treats you like a member of their family or a member of their village? You feel very intimate. It's like many of you in this room. We're like family. I come to your house, it's like family. It feels like that. I have keys. There's people here, I have keys for their house. Several in my car, I have keys for their house. Just come, anytime you want, just come. Don't even have to ring up. Just come, just let yourself in, just go in. Right? So that's friendship, that's family. Right? So that's what it has to become like with Krishna. That Krishna is an intimate friend. He's an intimate family member. There's no distance in the relationship. At this point in time, we have distance in the relationship. We are distancing ourselves from Krishna at this point in time because we have mood of too much awe and reverence, which is necessary in the beginning, but it must be overcome. It must be transcended. So this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. Right? In the beginning, you have awe and reverence, but this pastime is to teach us to give up jnana and karma. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us. And to understand the mood of madhurya over aishwarya. Right? Sweetness over... So this next verse glorifies what? Satya Ras, friendship. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. So Krishna is their friend. So what do the cowherd boys do with Krishna? They have wrestling matches. Sometimes they defeat Krishna. That's in the Krishna book, in the 10th canto. It's coming up in some of the pastimes. They defeat Krishna, and then what do they say to Krishna? Right? Now carry me on your shoulders. And because Krishna was defeated, he gets down, they get on the shoulders and carry him. They're going around, they're on top of Krishna. And then as they're going around, they say, you're not such a big man. You're carrying me, you're not such a big man. That's how they speak to him. That's the intimacy in the relationship. That's what we have to strive for. Yet even though the extent of the good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan is inconceivable, we 11 presiding deities of the various senses headed by Lord Shiva are also most fortunate because the senses of these devotees of Vrindavan are the cups through which we repeatedly drink the nectarian, intoxicating beverage of the honey of your lotus feet. So they're demigods. The demigods are in control of the senses. And the Brijbasis are serving Krishna with their senses. So they're saying, Brahma is saying, through the senses of the Brijbasis, we are experiencing Krishna. Because we cannot get close to Krishna, but because we control the senses, we can see through them these intimate pastimes which are taking place. In other words, Brahma is worshipping me, residents of Vrindavan. He sees himself as subordinate to the residents of Vrindavan. My greatest... So you might know this verse. This verse is very famous. It's a very powerful philosophical point which is being made. And later on, Uddhava, which will be later on, in about another 20 chapters, a little bit more, 25 chapters, then Uddhava will pray exactly the same way. So this is how those who are outside of Vrindavan pray to Krishna in Vrindavan and see his residence or his associates in Vrindavan. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth whatever in this forest of Gokul and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. The entire life and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. So how do we desire this? Do you have that desire in your heart? You just want to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan? So the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan will stand on you? Do you have that desire in your heart? To be trampled by the bridge buses? So how does this desire come? When everything material gets taken away. You have to lose everything material in this world. Janmaishraya Shruta Shribir. Janma, Aishraya, Shruta, Shribir. All of your material attachments, that has to be taken away. Krishna is the property of those who are Akinchana Gochara. And what does Akinchana mean? Someone who doesn't have anything. What do you have? What is in your hand at the moment? Your iPhone. Everyone has something. In other words, we all have possessions, right? But when all of that gets taken away, then what do you have? What do you do without your iPhone? When all of your material... Imagine right now, like one devotee recently, his house burned down. Think about that realistically. How would you feel if you went home and your house is burnt down? Well, that's a big test. That's not an easy test. So sometimes Krishna will take everything away, and eventually he takes everything away from everyone. Right? He takes everything away. Right? And then you're left with only one thing, with Krishna. So Brahma, he had everything taken away from him. And then when he had everything taken away, then he had nothing left. So he said, now let me just become a blade of grass. Right? So that feeling only comes when everything is taken away. At the moment we have false ego, so we don't really pray like that to Krishna. But he says, just let the bridge buses stand on my head. Because if they stand on my head, I may become enlightened. I may go back to Krishna. That's how we should feel. In other words, you can only understand Krishna when you get the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's servants. When you get the dust of the Krishna's servants, their lotus feet upon your head, then you can understand Krishna. In other words, you can't understand Krishna without the mercy of his devotees.
But that feeling should be here in this world.
Yeah, before you die.
Before I die.
Yeah.
But the thing is, to go back to Krishna, what is the happiness just to become the grass there in Rome?
Yeah, we don't want to become the grass, but we want to become the servant of the other devotees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does.
Lord Brahma's praying like that because he can't develop the desire in his heart to become one of the bridge buses. But Lord Chaitanya doesn't tell us to become the dust, he tells us to become a servant of the servant of the servant. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yo Dasa Dasa Amada. So we need to become the servant of one of Krishna's eternal servants. You need to develop the desire to become one of Krishna's eternal servants.
His desire is to wish
here.
He's then
reborn as Mridasa. Thakur.
Then he gets his desire eventually.
Correct. Yeah, eventually he does. So Krishna is
very merciful and finally gets his desire.
Eventually, yeah. But he has to overcome his...
Greatness.
Yeah. His material conception of being something other than the servant of the bridge buses.
The other thing I don't understand is when in the previous verses that Brahma said that he drinks the nectar of love through the cups of the devotees there. Well, the thing is, if he has got that feeling that he is the sense of those devotees, then why didn't he recognize the Lord as the greatest?
He was covered by Yoga Maya. Yeah, Krishna did this to him. Brahma actually wouldn't have done this. Brahma wouldn't have come down and taken all the cowherd boys, but Krishna covered him so he would do it, so that Krishna could show everyone in the universe that he is more powerful than Brahma. Brahma normally wouldn't have done that.
So why didn't he forgive him?
He did forgive him.
But later on, yeah,
that's what he wanted to do, because he felt bad. So.
Okay.
My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children and buried lives and hearts are all dedicated to you? So what else can Krishna give to the bridge buses except?
No.
Himself. He can't give you anything else. There's nothing else to give. Na pareyaham. There is one verse. When we read the next year, we'll study the Rasa Lila. We'll study the pastime of Krishna with the gopis. And Krishna says to the gopis, he said, I can't, there's nothing to give you back. Na parayeham means nothing. I can't give you anything. All I can give you is service to me. Please be satisfied with that, because I can't give you anything. Even myself, I can't give you. I can't reciprocate with you. Now, the bridge busies have taken everything from Krishna, because their service is so loving and so dedicated, Krishna can't reciprocate. So he said, just be satisfied with the service itself, that's all. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Does this sound like your life? Does this sound like your life? Okay. Then we pray for you. We pray for each other. We need to come out of this consciousness. Your family members are foot shackles, binding you to this world. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. O my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. So it is impossible to fully praise Krishna. That is Brahma's realization. So better just to surrender to him. We don't need to fully understand him. You can't understand him anyway. And my spiritual master said, you get to a point with Krishna where you just fold your hands, you say you are whatever you are, and you just surrender. Because we can't understand him. He's not comprehensible. Brahma is right in front of him now. He cannot comprehend what's going on. Now this boy is the source of everything. He's the source of Narayan, the source of God himself. So he just says, let me just serve you, because I don't understand actually who you are. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower of and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, and yet I offer this one universe unto you. So why is he praying to leave? Yeah, because when you're unqualified to be somewhere, you leave. You know, sometimes you're somewhere as a devotee and you feel like I shouldn't be here. Sometimes you're in a group of more advanced devotees and you just kind of back out. Because you understand you're not qualified to be in this place. Or you go to certain places, like in Vrindavan, like places like Radhakund, which are very exalted, and you feel like I'm not qualified to be here. Right? So your qualification to be in any of these places is to have the right consciousness. If you have the right consciousness, you can stay. But if you don't have the right consciousness, you have to leave. So Brahma is feeling uncomfortable. It's better that I go now. And Krishna doesn't say anything. So then he just leaves Vrindavan. He understands, I'm not qualified to be in this place.
When you know that Jesus is the Lord of all the universes, and how can he offer you one who is yours? If nothing is yours, how can you offer?
Nothing is yours in your house, but still you can offer things to Krishna. Nothing is yours in your bank account, but still you can offer things to Krishna. It all belongs to Krishna, but still you offer it to Krishna.
Just like you offer the Ganges water.
Yeah. My dear Sri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great ocean consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas, and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting comment about this verse. He says, may these prayers, means the prayers of Lord Brahma in this chapter, he said, may they become the foundation of our consciousness. In other words, everything that Brahma is praying and the mood that Brahma is developing, we should make that our mood. Then we will become successful in Krishna consciousness. So if you study these prayers very carefully and you imbibe the mood of these prayers, you will become Krishna conscious. So you have to study this chapter carefully. So in the next week, you should study this chapter very carefully. And at the end of chapter 16, you'll have your next exam. That's not that far away. 14, 15, 16. Yeah. There's a lot in the next few chapters as well. Quite a lot in this chapter as well. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we need some more fees for the course. Devotees are getting behind in their fees again. So please, we need a cash injection to keep the course going. Everyone's getting a little bit slack once again. I think this is the nature of Kali Yuga. That's my realization. Bhagavatam says in Kali Yuga, everyone is lazy. So please be a little bit disciplined. Keep the fees maintained so the course can stay going properly. Okay, so next week we'll finish chapter 14 and then we'll begin chapter 15. What is chapter 15? Dunukasura, the Asti. Srila Prabhupada ki.